Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Fortcast, the official podcast for Fort Healthcare. I am your host, Dr. Michael Anderson, President and CEO of Fort Healthcare. And on this episode of the Fortcast, we will be talking to Dr. Izzy Zambrano, one of our illustrious orthopedic surgeons, and we're going to talk about total hip surgery today. So, Dr. Zambrano, I've been with the organization for a little bit over 20 years. Welcome to the Fortcast. Could you please introduce yourself to our audience and just tell us how long you've been with Ford Healthcare? And we're so happy to have you today.
Sure, I think that'd be great. My name is Isidoro Zambrano. I'm a board-certified orthopedic surgeon and a fellow in the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery. I came to Ford Healthcare 2008, September, and joined this great facility, and very happy to be here.
Wow, well, we are very happy to have you. Dr. Zambrano, you do such a great job with our patients and our community, and I can't believe it's been over 15 years since you've been with us. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, but time always keeps flying. So I just want to start with, Dr. Zambrano, we hear the term all the time, total hip, and we hear it around the hospital, we hear it in the community, we hear it at our meetings. When somebody says, hey, I'm going to have a total hip done, what does that mean? What does that mean?
It means that they're essentially having their hip replaced. Reasons people would have a hip replacement is, number one, just wear and tear. Normally in your 60s, 70s, if you're coming in your 40 or 50, you may have had an accident in the past or some genetic problem. Osteonecrosis is also another factor when the bone starts dying. That etiology is basically unknown. Also other types of arthritis, psoriatic, rheumatoid, and all those other special names that they have for the other arthritic conditions. But essentially, they're getting the hip replaced to alleviate their pain, restore their function, and essentially get their life back.
Okay, so total hip is considered when basically the joint wears down. Whatever the reason will be, the joint wears down. And then when you say it needs to be replaced, what does that mean? Do people get an implant or what is actually happening in the surgery itself?
So first off, we talk about what approach we're going to use. Patient comes in, they have pain with activities, pain with sitting for long periods of time, pain with driving, they have trouble putting their shoes on, their socks on. And really the first thing that you see with hip arthritis is loss of internal rotation. So let's say you're sitting down, you move your knee towards the midline and you try to touch the outside of your shoe and it hurts. So that motion is the first thing that's gone. Then they come into the office, you evaluate them, make sure that they've had at least a good course of conservative treatment before you start talking about a hip replacement. But yes, you look at the x-ray with the patient, you go over it, you identify the structures that are deteriorated, you show them where you're going to end up making your cut along the neck area of the thigh bone and how you're going to replace the cup with the metal implant. The cups are made of titanium. The articulation or the hip joint itself can come from three different things. Metal on metal, which we no longer use. Ceramic on ceramic, which I don't necessarily recommend because it's brittle. And I always revert back to the good old plastic on metal. So we also put a titanium implant into the thigh bone, and then you measure out the length and the offset, but you got to get the length correctly. Back in the 80s and 90s, number one reason why people wouldn't be happy after a hip replacement is from leg length discrepancy. You end up having one leg longer than the other. And sometimes a surgeon has to do that for stability. But essentially, you're reaming out the old cartilage that's in there to get some nice, healthy bone in order to heal onto the metal itself. And then for the thigh prosthesis, we're using a lot of press fit implants. We used to cement them, and we still do it sometimes. 20 years ago, that used to be the standard of care, which was called a hybrid total hip arthroplasty, a cemented femoral stem and a metal cup.
Somebody with hip arthritis, that was a great description of the pain they may feel with internal rotation. And we're talking about the patients that have failed conservative therapy. And that's when you start to consider surgical intervention. Dr. Zambrano, the hip joint itself, is it more of a ball and socket? So when you say you put the implant in and you talk about the implant going into the thigh bone, are you replacing the ball part of the joint or the socket part or both?
Both. We end up replacing the socket and the cup. The cup is a metal prosthesis that you put in there. It's going to be a press fit stem that goes into the femur. And the articulation where it connects is going to be plastic and cobalt chrome. So yes, we replace the entire hip, allow them to restore their function so they're able to tie their shoes. And We're hoping that it lasts a very long time. About 15 years ago, we would tell patients that these implants are going to last 15, 20 years as long as you take care of them. Obviously, the more you use it, the faster it's going to wear out. But nowadays in a lab with the newer plastic that we have, it's lasting hopefully twice as long. We just don't have data on that quite yet.
Well, that's incredible. So really, as science advances, these hopefully total joints, these total hips will even last longer so patients don't have to have it done again. Is that right?
Correct. And that is our main priority, is to hopefully have the total hip last throughout the patient's life.
In your practice, Dr. Zimbrano, how often have you found patients need to have their total hip replaced after they've already had the surgery? Does it happen a fair amount today with the older implants, or is it still a pretty good rate these days, but it will just get better in the future?
It is a very good rate. The chance of them loosening up is slim to none, but you do see those every now and then. And if that's the case, then you use different implants. But you can only have so many hip surgeries by the time you don't have any bone stock. So you want to preserve it as much as possible. I haven't really revised a lot of these hips just because they're lasting longer and longer with the newer technology.
Overall, I know this surgery is extremely successful. And it sounds like if you don't have to replace that many joints and even less in the future, it sounds like it is very successful. If one of your patients, Dr. Zimbrano, has to have this surgery done, if you could please let us know a little bit about the surgical process. Like, how long does the surgery typically take? Do they spend the night in the hospital? And what's the recovery like? Can you give us a little information on that, please?
I can. Most of my patients end up going home. I try to leave the 80-year-olds and older people who don't necessarily have the help at home. I let them stay overnight. Sometimes they end up going to rehab, but it's all dependent on the patients themselves. Also, their body habitus. We discuss different approaches to the hip. You can come in from the back. You can come from the side. You can come in from the front. I personally come in from the front. I like it a lot better. I see my patients get back to their sports and their activities a lot faster, but that's just my opinion. And I let them know when I started doing the anterior approach, how long I've been doing it. And if they would like to seek out another opinion to verify that the surgeon has done quite a few of these hips in order to understand what they're getting into. So when I tell patients, we're going to come in from the front, I tell them that the most common complication after coming in from the front is that you're going to have a little bit of numbness on the outer thigh. Sometimes it bothers people when they're side sleepers, but most of the time it's negligible. I like coming in from the front because their chance of dislocation is very minimal. Their chance of nerve injury is minimal. The surgery itself takes about 50 minutes, so 50 minutes to a little over an hour. I have an assistant. We have a team here that's in the room pretty much for every hip replacement, so we all know what's going on. It decreases the chances of mistakes. The anesthesia provider will give the patient a spinal anesthetic, and as you know, with spinal anesthetics, they only last a couple hours, and that's more than plenty of time to have this procedure done. So once they're in the hospital after surgery, they go upstairs, they work with the physical therapists, they learn how to maneuver themselves, how to get around, and how to take care of themselves with a walker. They're going to utilize a walker for a while. Also, coming in from the front, your chance of developing a blood clot in your lungs is very minimal, but I still treat them with aspirin afterwards to try to prevent that. Any possible complication, we try to prevent and control. Unfortunately, there are complications that we can't.
So Dr. Zimbrano, you mentioned working with physical therapy. How quickly after their surgery do they start working with physical therapy?
As soon as their spinal anesthetic wears off and they're able to control their leg, they're up sitting in a chair, they're moving with them, hygiene in the bathroom, they're being helped with that as well. And coming in from the front is very advantageous. I've had two people ride their motorcycles at 2 weeks into my office, against my advice, by the way.
Well, you got to watch out for those motorcycles, right?
Yeah.
Anything can happen. But from what it sounds like, people get to work with physical therapy that same day as surgery. It sounds like a fair number of patients go home the same day. A small number will go home the next day, but the time in the hospital is actually pretty short.
It is. It is a lot different than it was when I first joined here. We used to have people here for at least 3-4 days, but nowadays we've refined the way we do things. The postoperative care, the postoperative pain management, and it allows them to go home the same day.
How long, Dr. Zimbrano, is typically the full recovery? Is it 4 weeks, 6 weeks, a couple of months, 3 months? What is typically the full recovery timeline?
I would say it's between 6 to 12 weeks.
That's pretty fast.
Yeah, most of my patients in that time frame do end up going back to work. I do have them be cautious because it is a metal implant that goes into a circular bone, so it could still break. But as soon as we check the x-rays at around 3 months, we look at the radiographic signs on the x-ray that shows stable fixation. And that's when I let them go free.
What kind of activity, when somebody is fully healed from the surgery, what kind of activity can they expect? Can they participate in sports, or is it more walking? What kind of activity level can they expect?
Coming in from the front, there's really no restrictions as to dislocation, and that plays a huge role. So I normally let them go back to any activity that they have. I've had several patients who have gone back to water skiing, snow skiing, wakeboarding, riding a bike, and essentially moving around quite well. So I don't give them restrictions.
That's pretty remarkable. And I can imagine this is life-changing for a lot of your patients, because to have that degree of pain due to arthritis of the hip and then to be able to undergo a surgery to fix that and return to your normal activity level, that has really got to be impactful to patients.
It is amazing. And the feeling you get when they come back at 3 months with that smile on their face, it's rewarding.
I bet. Well, Dr. Zambrano, I can't thank you enough for being with us today on this episode of the Fortcast. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for the invite.
So if your hip is bothering you, talk to your primary care provider or physician and see if you need to be evaluated by one of our orthopedic surgeons, such as Dr. Zambrano. Dr. Zambrano, thank you again. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media channels and check out our full podcast library, which is on our website. Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.